Okay, today's shiur we learn is Daf Mem Daled, and we left a little bit before the Mishnah, so we'll just finish that now. And the Mishnah said, the last case of Mishnah, I'm not sure if I made it so clear. When he says, the way the Korbanet explained in the Mishnah is actually that this is a get, and it will come into effect if I'm not in your presence, if you like, for 30 days. Okay, so in other words, he can be in a presence, but as soon as there's a gap of 30 days, that's when the get the it that's triggered for the get. So importantly here, that's why the mission is holecho ba, he can come see her, but presence actually means being be yichud. Okay, so the Gemara now just says this is the last bit just before the next Mishnah. If that's the case, he can't be, if you like, be yichud with her. Mikvar paneha. That's, in other words, that's what the Mishnah means, because if he would be beyichud with her, if he's no longer in her presence for 30 days, nimtza gita gadol mibana. Here we're saying it sounds like should he should, it's asule techelima. Why? Because the concern is they might be beyichud, fine. Then they might have a child as a result of being beyichud with one another. Then what happens is they won't he won't he'll end up not seeing her for 30 days. Then what happens is the get will come into effect, and it will appear that what happened is, well, halachically it will be that the get comes into effect. The get will be prior to the child being born, and it sounds like the child was a result of being out of wedlock. So just read the korbanim inside to make it more clear than I'm saying. It says as follows: Asul lichem ha'omer ezikitach kol zman she'avol mekenet banas shoshanim. Asul yetchedima mishat shenichtav a get. Why? Dechashim yavo alei avitzaber. We're concerned they'll be together and have a child. And then he won't see her for 30 days. And the zman in the get is written before the child was conceived. When the matter comes out, they'll see the time on the get will be kodem leleda taben, will be prior to the child being born. And it will look like, if you like, that the child was born out of wedlock. Okay? Fine. Now it sounds like here, according to this understanding, is the get's not me'achshav, it will be coming to chal after the time. And nonetheless, because the date of the get is written prior to the child being conceived, it will look like it was born out of wedlock rather than mamash being the case. And it'll be a pagam on the child. Let's have a look now. This is halacha chet. If he says this will be get if I don't come back within 12 months. Okay, and he died within the 12 months. We say, then it's not a get. Why is it not a get? He didn't come back. The reason is because the get's only chal after 12 months. He didn't say me'achshav. And since the get is chal after he's died, then it's not a progressive get. Okay, what happens if he says me'achshav, the get will chal now, im lod bati mikan v'ad 12 chodesh, if I don't come within 12 months? And met b'toch 12 chodesh, and he dies within that 12 months. Well, that's fine. Hare ze get. Why? Because now the get is cha, meaning he didn't come return within 12 months. He died, and the get was given on stipulation that it would be me'achshav from now if the tanai is not fulfilled, and therefore the get was actually considered a get while the husband was still alive. Fine, that should be clear. Now im lo bati mikan aval 12 chodesh, he said to someone, he said to shlichim, if I don't come within 12 months, kitvu get v'tnu li'ishti, write a get and give it to my wife. However, what did they do? They end up writing katvu b'toch 12 chodesh. They wrote it within that 12-month period. Menat nu, and they gave it. It says b'toch here, but the girs in the Mishnah, so Bavli, is actually achar. So it doesn't really matter here, because the issue is that even if he gave it, let's say even if it was lachar 12 chodesh, it's not a get. Why? Because the husband's instruction to shliach was to write the get only after he didn't return after 12 months. And these people preemptively wrote the get, and that wasn't their term of shlichut. So therefore, wasn't considered with the authority of the husband. Now, what happens is, kifvu v'tnu get li'ishti im lo bati mekan v'ad 12 chodesh. And this is an interesting one. He said, write and give the get to my wife if I don't return within 12 months. They wrote it within 12 months. Katvu b'toch 12 chodesh. V'nanu l'achar 12 chodesh. They gave it after 12 months. In that situation, we say, eno get. It's not a get. Why? Because the understanding, according to the Tanakhama, and this will become clear on the Gemara, is the instruction was also to write it after 12 months. He said, write and give the get to my wife if I don't return within 12 months. However, Rabbi Yossi says, kaze get. That is indeed a get. We'll explain that when we get to the Gemara, why that case it would be a get. What if it says, what if they wrote kafulashnemachadesh? What if they wrote it after the 12 months expired and gave it? Then that's fine. And however, umet, and the husband then died. Im get kadam lamita, if they gave the get before the husband died, then it's fine because the get was delivered and the wife was divorced before the husband died. V'im mit meta, if im mita kadma laget, if the death preceded the handing over of the get, well, there's not a get because you can't give a get after death. However, any do if we're not sure about the timing here. Imagine the husband was gravely ill and the shaliach ran and was giving it. We actually don't know exactly which came first. That situation, Magresha, Ve'ena Magresha, this is a case where we have this Suffolk Magresha. This is a classic case, if you like, of Suffolk Magresha. Okay, now the Gemara says, Im lo bati mikan ad 12 chodesh. Now the Gemara asks, if you remember, there was a debate between Riyosi and the Chachamim regarding this case. He says, Kitvu tnu get lishti, im lo bati mikan ad 12 chodesh. In that situation, if the get was written before the 12 months has expired, Chachamim says, what are you doing? You can't do that because it was meant to be written after. However, Rabbi Yossi says, that is a get. Now, why so? Because the Gemara says, begin to actim ktiva v'lo actim netina v'atum ram enu get. Now, so just explain here, meaning Chachamim says not a get. So the Korbanator says, hachi pirosho, time at the Rabbi Yossi, is medhavad el meima shurusim im lo bati, if I don't come, then write a get for my wife. However, Amar, he didn't say that. He said, write a get and give it to her if I don't come. And the fact he termed it that way, it sounds like on Rabbi Yossi, means you can write it even now. And vitnu im lobati, because if he didn't want the writing to occur till now and only occur after 12 months, he should have termed it, if I don't return in 12 months, then write and deliver a get. The fact he said, write and give it to her if I don't return in 12 months, it sounds like that it means you can write it now. However, and the Chachamim, however, disagree, and they says, no, even if he says, that even goes on the writing as well. Okay. Fine. Now, the Gemara says, what if he says, this is your get? Now, lacharachag doesn't mean it's chal after chag. It means if I don't return after chag, which is Sukkos, right? So the Gemara says, amarle, what's considered after Sukkos? Like, what's a time period that when he says, if I don't return after Sukkos? So he says, kol shloshim yom lacharachag kelacharachag. He says he's got a 30-day window. So, and if he came back 60 days after, then clearly he didn't return after Sukkos. So the whole 30 days after Sukkos is considered after Sukkos. Okay, fine. So therefore, if he didn't return that tonight, batel is not a get. Now, Rav Bey ben Baruch Hiya, Bayi Kamei Rav Zira, what about Harezi get Erev Pesach? What if he says, this is a get if I don't return Erev Pesach? The question is, what does Erev Pesach mean? What if we returned 2 weeks before, disappeared, and didn't come back Erev Pesach? So the Gemara says, Afilu Kamanda Amar, he says, "Afilu kamanda ama koshoshim shalachar chag kelachar chag." Even going to the shit that said that after chag is you got a 30-day window is what's going to after koshoshim shlifnei chag eno klifnei pesach. The 30 days before Pesach is not considered like erev Pesach. Well, you got lifnei here, but it's not considered like before Pesach, and therefore it wouldn't be like a triggering that tonight if you didn't return mamash erev Pesach. Now I've got an interesting question here. What if someone says, Rabbi Zera says, "Bai kemei Rabbi Yasi says." Someone makes a neder. He says, I'm not going to have wine Motzei Shabbos. Now, what does it mean, Motzei Shabbos? What's your time period, Motzei Shabbos? Does it mean literally what we say Motzei Shabbos is, what do I call that? It's, I hate saying the word, but Saturday night, right? Or do we say, or differently? So, Amarle, it says, Motzei Shabbos is Asur. Clearly, what we refer to Motzei Shabbos is Asur. Erev Shabbos is no question that Erev Shabbos means Erev Shabbos. It's too late in the week to be considered Motzei Shabbos. However, Motzei Shabbos is Asur, Erev Shabbos is Mutar, Yamim Shebein Taim Tzricha. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, these days could all still be considered Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, it's a Tzricha, it's a Safek, whether these days are considered really Motzei Shabbos, be the days that the individual wouldn't be able to say drink wine based on his neder. Clearly, Erev Shabbos he can, and also Shabbos as well. Now it says, "V'hachay motzei Shabbos, harei ze get, erev Shabbos eino get, yamim shemen taim tzricha." So how do we have this parallel case in the world of Gittin? So I'll just show you here. The Korbanator says, "V'hachay gabei get, nami ha'omer get, Kipfu get v'tnu get li'ishti b'motzei Shabbos. If someone, a man says to a shaliach, I want you to write a get for my wife on Motzei Shabbos. Im natnu, and give it to a Motzei Shabbos. Okay? It says, Im natnu lo belel Motzei Shabbos, hare ze get v'day. If he gives it on what we call Motzei Shabbos after Havdalah, then clearly that's considered a get. He's fulfilled the wishes of the husband. If he gave it Erev Shabbos, well, that's clearly not the wishes of the husband. That's not Motzei Shabbos. Havvaday no get. However, natnu b'yamim shebein tayim, if he gives it on the Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, even all up to Thursday, that would be, still be considered a safek whether these are the wishes of the husband being fulfilled and is doing the shlichut faithfully. Okay, with that we say Hadranach perek misha achzul kudyakus, Hadranach perek misha achzul kudyakus, Hadranach perek misha achzul kudyakus. Okay, let's now begin the eighth perek. Hazurek get lishtov, someone throws a get to his wife. Vi b'toch beitah, she's in her house, or b'toch chatzera, in her chatzer. So explain what it means, hers. It's referring to her nechzei melog. This is property she brings into the wedding. If you remember the nechzei melog, nechzei tzom barzel, nechzei melog is that property that really is hers, continues to belong to her, and the husband, all he has is the rights to eat the payrod. And he's not responsible for any fluctuation in value or anything. If it goes up or down, he returns it as it is to the wife if she's divorced. Right? That's a nechzei melog. So therefore, it's considered hers. So that's why it says if the get is thrown into her house or into her chatzer, it's megureshet. It's if it's landing in her hand. The Gemara will try and bring the source of that. What happens? Zarkula betoch beito. What if they're in the house, in his house, and he throws her a get? He doesn't hand it in her hand. He just places it on the floor. Or betoch chatzero afilu imah b'mita. Even if he's in the same, like it's he puts it in the bed in which she is in. And the bed belongs to him. He says, "Eino get megureshet." It's not considered nantan beyada. He hasn't given it to her hand. She is not megureshet. The Gemara says, "Lotoch heka or lotoch kalata." Areza megureshet. If he puts it in her lap or into her basket, in that situation we say, "Well, that situation we say that she would be megureshet." It's like placing it in her hand. Okay, there's what to work with here. Let's have a look at the Gemara. Hazurek get liishto. Says what we know the Torah says the katav he has to write a get, but Natambi has to place it in her hand. It's not any kinyanim don't necessarily work. It has to be literally placed in her hand, the Torah says, for it to be divorced. Mara says, well, if that's so strict, ainli ela biada. What that means her hand. Beginata bechatzera. If he puts it in her garden or her chatzer, minain, where do we see that? So Talmud Loma venatan venatan. Meaning the two psukim that say venatan. Well, two psukim apart, but the extra excessive natan that's mentioned in this parasha is considered superfluous. First one, the vatan b'yadav v'shecham mibito, the other one, the vatan b'yadav v'shecham mibito also. That's this pasuk aleph and gimel in perek chavdal in dvarim. So therefore, you've got this superfluous language that's a ribui for other manners of netina. Even to, you know, her chat is like her hand, her house is like her hand, fine. Ramah said that works fine according to Rabbi Akiva. What about Rabbi Shmuel? If you remember, we've had this quite a few times already in Yerushalmi. This broad machlok of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael, that Rabbi Akiva, he says, is Doresh Kefel Lashon, like the double language. And Rabbi Ishmael is not impressed by that. He says, Dibre Lashon Kebena Adam in that sense. Double language is not a reason to mashme anything. So according to Rabbi Ishmael, where does he learn the ribui, where does he get the extra inclusion, if you like, to teach us that a chatzer is like putting in our hand? So Tari Bishmael says, Vikach et kolatzo miado ad arnon. So this refers a few parashot ago. It says, Ki cheshbon ir Sichon melech Amori. It says, He, vehu nilcham be melech Moab. So Sichon fought with melech Moab. Harishon, Vikach et kolatzo and took all his land from his hand. Now you take land out of someone's hand. Land doesn't fit into someone's hand. And you cannot pick up land. So it was ad arnon. So Vichi miado lakach, the Gemara says, Elamahu miyado. What does it mean from his hands? It means merushuto, from his reshut, from his possession. So here we hear of his property. So here we understand there's a ribui that yad can be understood more broadly in a physical hand. That's the way Rabbi Shmuel understand it. So her reshut, what other things are considered her reshut? It would be her property, her chatzer, her bayit, things like that. The Gemara asks now, one second. We've just explained that her property, the nechzei melog, is property that brings in marriage. The husband has a right to payrot. It says, so what are you talking about? The husband has rights to this land during the course of the marriage. He has what's called a reshuta for achila payrot. If that's the case, then it should be considered like it's in his rashut. How can you say that it's considered natan biyada? It's not under her full control. That's a, it sounds like the question we're presenting. And the Gemara presents two different answers. Rabbi Shua b'shem Rabbi Yana says, achich tola dimirim enlin benechasayich. Then indeed it is true that if we're talking about a normal case of marriage where she brings in nechasim elog, he wouldn't be able to place him in a chatzar. He wouldn't be able to place him in a house. We're talking about a case that when they got married, he wrote, din v'dvarim enlin benechasayich, that he says, he is foregoing or relinquishing all rights he has to a property. So therefore, the so-called nechse malog is hers and hers entirely, and he has no rights to the payrod either. If that's the case, it fully belongs to her, and that's what not only is our Mishnah referring to, but the Torahs are referring to as well, that specific, unique case. Interesting. However, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Chakula says, B'shem Rabbi Shai says, no, afilo lo katav la din v'dvarim ein li benachasayich. Even if he doesn't write that, it would still be considered, if you like, hers. The fact he has reshut to payrod, we'll discuss it when we get to the Gemara soon, that's not enough to make it not considered hers. He only has reshut to payrot. The land is still hers, so therefore it's considered chatzira. That's kind of the debate we hear. I'm not sure the Gemara doesn't do this, but continuing to kinyan perek kinyan guftami, but it sort of smacks of it, let's call it that. The Gemara now says, the ati de Rabbi Yanai, now here the Korbanet changes a few things in terms of the shita around a bit, so we have to sort of tread carefully. It says, ati de Rabbi Yanai, Shita Rabbi Yana, that is Hasdur Achich Tov Dirim Rim, seems like the Shitat of who? Kerebi Meir, change it here. V'Rabbi Ushaya seems to be like Rabbanan. So we're switching that around. The Rabbi Yanai is like Rabbi Meir. Why? Because Rabbi Meir Amar, you saw how all the changes are made, Al Yadei Sheyad HaEved Ki Yad Rabbo, because the hand of an Eved is like Yerod, Ein Zacha Gito Meyado. So Ein Zacha. You can't give a get to one's Eved, place it in his hand, because he doesn't have his own yad, and therefore, how would you then meshachrer an Eved? You have to give it to somebody else who can do zachim for him, because it's the yad Eved ki yad rabo, and it's never as if you've left your hand and placed it in his hand. That's Pidgin Rav Meir. Similarly, comes to Gito as well. It says, v'ginata v'chatzira, also, her gina and her chatzer. It says, "Ho'il vehen mushubadim la'ish lachi perot." Since the husband has, if you like, rights, or there's a lien on this land, or not really, but he has a legal right to land to eat perot, then as well, placing it in her chatzer wouldn't be sufficient. Ad sheichtov la din v'rim ein li benechasayich, unless you write, unless he relinquishes his rights to the land. So that's beautiful. That is Rabbi Yanai clearly aligning with Shittat Rabbi Meir, that simply placing a chatzar isn't sufficient unless he writes in Divin Rabbi Ben Chasaich. However, the Gemara says as follows. No. Kasha al de Rabbanan. He said, Hu yada eved ki yad rabo v'hu zacha begito. So the way the Korban explains this, he says that there's a Shittat Rabbanan, the Rabbanan that understand Rabbi Meir differently, not the Rabbanan, the Cholik Rabbi Meir. Rabbanan that understand Rabbi Meir, that in the case of an Eved himself can receive his own, if you like, his own get, shikrur, his document to free him, because we say, gito v'yado bain ke'echad. So if that's the case, according to that shita, we're at a loss of who Rabbi Yanai is like. Because Rabbi Yanai doesn't seem to hold gito v'yado bain ke'echad. So that's why that seems to be a kasha, if you want to, in that situation, you'd be stuck with Rabbi Yanai's like. Okay? Now, Rabbi Oshaya, however, now changing your side, Rabbi Oshaya, however, if you remember, Rabbi Oshaya says, no, even if he doesn't write Divin Vrim in Nechasayich, he can hand her the get. That is like Shitta Durabanan. Why? Durabanan, again, changing your side, Amrin, Al Yedei She'ein Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala. He maintains that the Yad Isha, even though he might have, the husband has, if you like, rights to Ma'ase Adeya, what she produces, if you like. Nonetheless, her Yad is her Yad. And therefore, so says Ein Yad Hishak Yad Bala, who zachta gita miado beginata v'chatzera, as well. Afal pisha Ein Hem Mushum Leish Lachi the Perot Afilu Lo Katav Din Reim Ein Nechasayich. So just to explain, I read you here the Korban Eder says Afal pisha Mored Lo Lemase Adeh. Despite the fact her hand is Mushubela Lemase Adeha, we still say Mimkom Makom. Nonetheless. Love kiado mamash. It's not considered like his hand, and therefore she can receive, if you like, a get directly to her hand. So too imken hu adin, so too the gina v'chatzira, af agav, despite the fact that he has the mushubadlo, meaning mushabdimlo, lachila peirot, that he has a right to have the fruit, zochi behed la, nonetheless, the body of the land is still considered hers. And therefore, even if he didn't write, even if he didn't relinquish all his rights to the land for Peirot, it's considered her land and it can still be Zoche. It can still, if you like, the shtar, it can, if it hits the land, would be considered less if it's landed in her hand, this get, and then she would be divorced. Okay, and that's why we see here that Rabbi Shaya says he doesn't have to relinquish his rights for this get to work by placing in a chatzer, aligns with Shittat Rabbana. Now the Gemara says, Naftula, I'm going to explain it first like the Pnei Moshe, because that's a gist we have in front of us. And it's also a bit easy for me to understand. It says, Naflula Nechasim, so Naflulo Nechasim Vela. That's a gist we have. In other words, it sounds like that they both inherited property. How do they both inherit the same property? We'll get to that in a minute. Afilu katav, even if he wrote relinquishing rights, din v'rim elim b'nechasayich, kemi shelo katav, as if it's not even written. Why? Because when he's giving relinquishing his rights to a property, according to Pnei Moshe explains, mistami dato lesalek atzmo elim b'nechasim shelo levada. His intention was really to relinquish his, if you like, his rights to property that's exclusively hers and not things he had as a share in. Now, what's the situation where he might have a share in a property? For example, Nuso Batachiv, he was married to his niece, okay? And the niece's father, the person's father, wasn't alive. And then the grandfather passes away. Afilu Katav Kemishalo Katav. In that situation, he is inheriting his father's property. She, meaning his wife, is repairing that, has a share in that same property by virtue of it being her grandfather, assuming she was only daughter. So that's a situation where they would both share, if you like, in property, have a share together in particular property. That's the way the Pnei Moshe explains the sugya. Fine. Now, what's interesting here is
he married the daughter of her brother.
Of his brother.
So why does she is Yoreshes?
Because if her father, she could be the only heir. She could be the only child of her father, right? So she's nourished from her father. If her father's an iftar,
yeah,
okay, that means she's also going to, she takes the place of the father in the grandfather's estate. Nachon?
Okay.
So therefore, her and her uncle, who are now husband and wife, have equal shares in Zayda's, or his great, the grandfather's Yerusha. Make sense?
Ah, she's the one. Sorry. Yeah. I forgot to go back a generation.
You have to go back a further generation. Exactly. That's a confusing part. You have to go to Zaka.
I wasn't invited to the wedding. That's why I forgot.
Because he says, Chokhi Aviv, his father, Aviv, right? Fine. But it's interesting. I'll just read the Korbanada. I'm not 100% sure I've got this explanation right, but I'll tread carefully. It says, Naflu Nechasim, he changed the girsa to not that they both Naflu Lahem, if you like, Nechasim, just Naflu La Nechasim. If she inherits property, Afilu Katav Kemishalo Katav, it says, Hachi Perusho, Naflu Nechasim Mishne, then Nechasim she inherited, if you like, after they got married. Then Lomani Ktiva, assuming the Ktiva here means from this point onwards, Rani Ktiva now is not going to help. Because only future Yerusha is, you can, mimakom acher, that comes from a different place, he can say that I'm not going to have rights to Yerusha that's coming from another location, from Mel Macher. Aval b'shekvar nasayif, he's already married her, k'shelohi, it already belongs to him, v'lo manektiva. Writing that I'm foregoing my rights to Yoresh, doesn't, or my rights to this land, is it going to help? It'd have to be way matana. And then for the next case is Hayunasa Batachiv. Now that situation, he's saying Shuhu Ra'ui L'Yorsha, he is the capacity to Yoresh her anyway. And therefore, V'lohave Kanachala B'makom Acher, and therefore any things that she was Yoresh is not considered B'makom Acher anymore. Because it's already considered, if you like, Shayach to him. Afilu Katav Labado Arusa, even if he writes already Be'oda Arusa before they even got married, Din Verdrim, Lo mahani, this tnai wouldn't work. Elim ken kataba lashon atana, because it's not considered mimma makom acher. It's already considered shayach lo. So therefore, we'd have to write lashon matana and not lashon, if you like, din v'devarim. Okay. I read the Korban Eda, and I think the distinction between the first and second part is the Zman Ktiva, but again, I'm not 100% sure, but that's why I brought the Pnei Moshe, which is, I think, easier to understand, at least in my head. All right, so that, and stays with the Gemara. Okay, Kol Tov, you have a good
Thank
day.
You.